主后2012年10月14日，太平间马阿国纪念教会信徒座酒会，讲者者博伟志牧师，讲道题目出埃及记专讲第四讲。
Welcome back.
欢迎再。
We have 1 hour to go.
欢迎回来，我们有一个小时的时间。
And I commend you for staying the whole entire day.
我真的是发现我们。是可以这么一整天来讲这些。
As Amy indicated before, at 5 o'clock we'll break our teaching and do questions.
就像刚刚早上 Amy 姐讲的，就是淑芳姐讲的，就是我们5点会有一段发问的时间。
And we will finish no later than 5:30.
所以说不可以晚于5:30结束。
But we're making very good progress through Exodus.
我发现我们进行的还蛮不错的。
I welcome you. You who are the, who are professors at the seminaries, I feel honored that you are here today.
我真的要欢迎这些神学院的老师们。我觉得很荣幸可以让由你们今天来这边参与。
So thank you for listening to the teaching. We appreciate it very much.
谢谢你来参与我们这样的教导。我真的很感激你们能够来。
We're discussing the journey of the redeemed.
我们在讨论关于这个救赎之旅。
From Exodus chapters 14 to Exodus 19.
从出埃及记14章到19章。
What we have left out is all the individual stops in those places.
所以在这些地方，就是我们看见它每一个部分，我们就这样的一部分一部分停下来讲。
It's too bad because those individual stops all have a significance in the whole story.
事实上在这每一个我们必须要跳过的地方很可惜，就是那些其实都还有很深的道理在里头。
But for today, and our purpose is today,
但是因为今天晚上然后有今天晚上有这样的有聚会，所以我们有这样的原因，所以只能在白天。
It's important that we get the theological significance of the Midbar for our understanding of things.
所以这个下午我们要特别要希望大家能够领受到这旷野那真实的意义是什么。
We are spending time at the last stop in this journey before Mount Sinai.
在那个西乃山那边，我们是刚刚是停在那个地方。
And this is where Israel gets a visit from Moses' father-in-law Jethro.
所以就是在那个地方，摩西跟他的岳父叶特罗碰面。
We have to ask why was this story recorded?
我们要问了，为什么这个故事要被记载下来
？What is so important about it that we should know about it?
为什么真的那么重要？我们必须要知道。
Well, there's probably a lot of different reasons.
也许有一些不同的原因理由。
For one thing, it shows the place I'll leave that one, but. One of the significant things is the introduction of the concept of elder as leadership for God's people.
其中一个我要先讲这一个的，就是说让要有这样的把这些长老，就是在整个领袖群里头是长老来分担这样的带领。
Israel was already ruled by elders.
那以色列是真的是长老在掌理。
What Jethro was doing.
当叶特罗这么做。
Is adding more to their leadership.
是在这个领袖群里面再多加一些人。
And showing Moses' willingness to share this leadership with qualified men.
就看见摩西真的有这样的意愿，要把这样的带领权也分享给其他和符合资格的人。
And we left off last period. Sorry, we left off last period.
是我们刚刚停在那个地方。
By beginning to share a little Hebrew concept,
来分是停在那个稍微分享一点在希伯来文的观念里。
The word zaken means elder.
那 zaken 这个意字的意思是长老。
Describes not just the person's age,
不只是描述这个人的年纪。
But has reference to the person's wisdom and ability to lead.
也表彰出他的智慧，还有他能够带领的那个能力。
And we ask the question, how does a little boy grow up to be a zaken?
那一个小，我们就要问这个问题：如何一个小男孩可以长大成为一个 zaken?
Well, God put into the Hebrew language a concept that might be very helpful to know.
那也许神放下来的那个观念可以让我们比较容易了解一点。
When a little boy is a little boy,
当那小男孩还小的时候
he's supposed to be a little boy.
他应该是小男孩
And all that involves.
那就是他只是要负责当一个小男孩
But there comes a certain time in life where he's in transition.
所以在他的生命之间有一些转换的时刻
Around 12 or 13, stuff happens in his body.
就是到12岁要到13岁他的身体也开始有变化
In the biblical world,
在这个圣经的这个世界里
He could easily have been married by 13, 14, 15 years old.
那事实上孩子长到13、14、15岁他们是就可以结婚的。
Our day, we don't permit that.
那在现在我们绝对不会让他们这么做。
And then we wonder why our teenagers have problems handling sex.
然后我们还在想说为什么我们的青少年老是有这些性的犯罪、性的罪行。
In the biblical world, that was not a problem.
但是在圣经的时代，那不没有这种青少年性罪行的问题。
Around 12 or 13,
在十三岁的时候
，In addition to all the stuff that's going on inside of his body,
在他身体里面就开始产生变化。
There's something happening to the boy's face.
在男孩的脸也开始又产生变化了。
Little stuff starts growing on it.
有些小东西就长出来了。
He starts growing a zakan.
他就开始长出胡须了。
And unless he cuts it off,
除非他把它剃掉。
He'll start looking like this.
他就会开始看起来像我这样了。
In no time at all.
就是不断的长就会这样。
In fact, the Torah teaches us.
事实上，塔罗教导我们说。
That Israelite men were not to shave this off.
就是男人不该剃胡须。
Why is that so?
为什么要这么说?
I think the key to understanding that teaching
我想要了解这教导的关键
lies in the similarity between the two words.
为什么这两个字眼是那么的相近?
Zakan and Zakane.
就是 Zakan 跟 Zakane.
When he starts growing a Zakan, a beard,
当刚他的胡须开始长出来
it's God's way of reminding that boy
那就是神的方式要提醒这个男孩
that while he was a boy, it was okay to act and be a boy.
他在当男孩的时候他的行为可以像孩子没问题
But now things are changing.
现在事情改变了
He's growing up.
他开始长大了
And someday soon,
很快将有一天
he will begin to take his place among the Zakanim of the city.
就要来接手在城市里面那个长老的位分了
What will qualify him for that?
有什么可以让他成为是符合资格的呢?
A boy must learn to give up childish ways.
一个男孩就要学习放掉那个幼稚的那些行为。
And acquire the wisdom that God's word and life will both teach him.
就需要有那个必须要有属神的神的话语的智慧。
And so God gave boys and men an outward visible reminder.
所以神就给男孩有这样外显出来可以看得到的记号来提醒。
An outward visible reminder that there's a time and a place to leave childhood behind.
这个外显出来的特征就是告诉他你要开始放掉过去那幼稚的行为了。
And now start preparing to take your place.With the distinguished and wise men at the city gate who rule and protect the city.
就是预备要进入这样的位分里面，就是成为一个智者，成为一个长老，坐在城门口为众百姓排解纠纷的长老。
And every time a young man or a man considers acting childish again,
若是一个年轻男子或是年轻人他又开始做出很幼稚的行为
he's supposed to look at or feel that beard on his face.
他就必须要看见自己的胡须要摸到自己的胡须
and that Zakan
这样的胡须 Zakan
will remind him that God intends for him to be a Zakan.
所以就是神要来提醒他你要开始成为 Zakan 长老了
that he is that he's his goal is to be wise and strong and safe and knowledgeable of God's word as a leader among God's people
这胡须摸到胡须就提醒他他要成为一个有智慧一个有让人家有安全感有一个有资格可以坐在城门口来辅导百姓的长老
Zakan is beard, Zakan is elder.
Zakan 是胡须 ,Zakan 就是长老。
Supposedly, maybe there is a connection of the words in that an elder is older and has a beard.
然后当然也许有可能这个字眼也连接到说长老就是一个有个年纪而且都有胡须了。
But even if the words are not technically, linguistically related, they are there to teach a lesson.
所以不管这字眼是不是有这样的倾向，就是要教导我们这些真理，但是这些都是神的也给我们的教育，给我们的教导，就是这个真那个内容。
So chapter 18 can help us to learn these principles about leadership.
18章就可以让我们学习到这样领袖群的原则。
And it also helps us to remember that leadership among God's people is plural, shared, a shared leadership.
然后另外再来的在这边就让我们看到就是那个复数就是那个 leadership, 共同带领。
Okay, I won't go further than that because I understand that there are different denominations represented here and I shall not tread on thy shoes.
好，这个部分我们不要讲的太深了，太多了，因为我们在座有很多不同的宗派，所以那个不要太过于那个敏感的教导。
In this section of Exodus, chapters 14 to 19,
在这一部分，出埃及记14章到19章的教导。
I can't think of much that we can learn about family significance.
这边我们也看到他们对家庭的那个重要性。
Maybe you can think of some stuff.
也许你也可以想出一些的。
But we're going to pass this one over for now.
所以但是我们现在要先跳过这些。
There are one or two educational principles that we can learn.
在那边也有一些一两个很重要的那个教育的原则我们可以学习到。
First of all,
首先
we are on an educational journey.
我们是就都是在教育的旅程中。
I love that word journey.
我很喜爱这个字眼叫旅程。
Israel as a redeemed people embarked on a journey.
以色列民是被救赎的百姓在这样的旅程当中的。
And it's a journey of growth.
那是成长的旅程。
It's an educational journey if you would.
若是你要讲的话也可以讲说教育之旅。
My journey is a little different from your journey.
我所经历的旅程跟你经历的旅程是有点不一样。
Your journey is a little different from their journey.
你的旅程跟他们的旅程也是有些不一样。
Their journey is a little different from your journey.
那他们的旅程跟那另外一群人的旅程也是不太一样。
My point is,
我重点是
that we are all on the same, we are all on journeys.
我们每个人都在这样的旅程中。
But different places on the journey.
只是在旅程中的不同的地方。
So we need to give each other space.
所以我们必须给彼此有空间。
Space to be on each other's journeys.
让彼此有空间来走他们的旅程。
And that's one way to practice grace with each other in the body of Messiah.
这就是为什么我们在弥赛亚肢体当中，我们要对对方有恩典。
Paul says to look after each other not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit.
神保罗说不要以肉身来看对方，而要看见的是对方的那属灵的部分。
Which means that as believers,
意思就是说身为一个信徒，
there's a few things that we know for sure about each other.
有一些事，少数一些事我们是知道彼此的。
One thing we know for sure,
有一件事我们确切知道，
is that just like ancient Israel,
就像古以色列，
we are all on a spiritual journey.
我们每一个人都在经历属灵之旅。
Know that about each other.
我们要知道彼此都在经历当中。
If that person says that they are a believer,
若是那个姊妹她是一个信徒，
grant them the grace of believing that.
让他们能够有空间在他们信仰当中成长。
And if they don't see or understand things the same way you do,
让他们可以照着你在经历的方式，他们也可以照着他们在经历去看去了解。
Just remember how long it took you to get to where you are right now.
只要提醒自己，你从过去到成为到现在的你，你花了多久时间才成为现在的你？
We know that if we are believers in Yeshua, God has put us on a spiritual journey of growth.
我们要知道，当我们相信耶稣之后，神已经把我们每个人都放到这个旅程中了。
And another thing we know about each other
还有另外一个我们知道彼此的
is that we are individuals.
知道我们每个人都是个别性的
We are corporate in that we are on a journey.
我们是共同在这个旅程
But we're also individuals.
但是同时也是个别在经历
And some of us travel faster than others.
所以这个旅程呢有人快有人慢
We need to give each other space and grace.
我们必须给彼此有空间有恩典
To be on their journey.
让他们能够经历自己的旅程
And when their journey doesn't look like yours.
若是他们的旅程看起来跟你的不一样
Or when you think that their journey should be at a different place in their journey by now.
若是你甚至觉得他们现在应该要进到旅程的某一点啦。
Realize that that's what you think, that's not necessarily what God thinks.
你要知道那是你自己的想法不见得是神的想法。
Let's give each other grace and space in our journeys.
让我们彼此在这样的个别的旅程中给对方都有恩典有空间。
We'll avoid a lot of unbiblical judgment making if we do that.
就 如此就可以避免掉 一切的那不合神心意的那种批评论断了。
Rather, let's be a source of encouragement to each other on our journeys.
宁愿成为彼此在这旅程中的鼓励的资源。
Secondly,
第二
We need to work together as a community to help each other in that journey.
我们必须成为像一个社群一样，在这旅程中彼此互相帮助。
With ancient Israel, we see two dynamics taking place at the same time.
在古以色列，我们看见有两个动力在带着他们。
We see the individuals.
我们看见是个别性的。
For example, God will single out that person or this person for certain things.
举例，神会说这个人或那个人的特定的某些事。
But we also see community together.
我们也看见整个社群共同的。
And as a community,
既然是一个社群
God had stuff to tell the nation as a whole.
神也开始告诉整个国家是一个共同体
And he was training them to function together as a nation.
他也训练他们一起来运作是一个共同的国家
The prevailing philosophy in today's world is very individualistic.
所以在就是连接到今日现在的世界的话就发现都是很个体性的
That's not the biblical thinking.
这样的那么的个体性，那绝对不是圣经的想法。
The biblical thinking is I'm part of a community.
在圣经里面想法是也要在共同体当中有要有能够有这样的条件进到那个共同体里。
And what I do does affect you, and what you do does affect me.
就知道我所做的会影响到你，你所做的也会影响到我。
Thirdly.
第三。
Recognize that there are many stops on that journey.
要明白在这旅程中有很多的中停站。
And so, leave room for our children to be on their journey.
所以也要让我们的孩子有空间去走这旅程。
Many different stages of life.
生命有很多不同的阶段。
Many different places where God teaches us.
很多地方都是神在要停下来教导我们的。
Events happen in our lives and our children's lives that are major teaching sessions from God.
发生在我们生命和孩子生命中的那些事件都是神主要要来教导我们的。
For a child,
对孩子来说
this could be something as simple as a pet dying. A pet dying.
对孩子来讲有可能一个宠物死掉会是一个极大神要来教导他的事件。
Or getting picked on by other kids at school.
或者是在教那个在学校被另外一个孩子欺负
Or losing their lunchbox.
或者是他们的午餐盒不见了
Spilling their food.
或是他们的他们自己的餐自己的食物被人家那个搞脏了
We need to help our children through these kind of things.
然后我们要帮助孩子在这些事件上
The Hebrew word for parent
在希伯来字里面父母这个字
It's the word hore.
就是 hore.
It's from a Hebrew root which means to shoot to hit a mark.
那 hore 的意思就是要击中那个弧地。
Yare.
就是 yare.
It's a sister word for the word Torah.
就是它的整个系统的字就是 Torah.
Torah is a word that means instruction.
那 Torah 的意思就是指导。
Instruction that hits the mark concerning who God is and what His righteousness is.
指导他们击中弧地，让他们知道神是谁，神的公义是什么。
parent, the word for parent, hore,
那父母这个字眼就是hore,
carries that connotation as well.
也是带着这样的字根。
So that a parent's job, according to the Bible, is one of a teacher.
所以照着圣经，父母该是教师之一。
We are not called by God to be the child's lawmakers.
然后我们被呼召不是要成为孩子那个为他订立律法的人。
The child's policeman.
或是被好像是成为孩子对着孩子的警察。
Think of our children.
想想我们的孩子。
Don't ask them because they may not tell you this.
你若问他们也没有用，不必问他们，他们不会告诉你。
Think sometime.
有时候你可以想一想。
If you ask your child, are you afraid of me or do you like to be around me?
然后你问问你的孩子，你会害怕我，你会怕我吗？还是你喜欢跟在我身边？
How do you think your child will answer?
你觉得你孩子会怎么回答？
If we're a loving, patient disciple maker,
若是我们是慈爱，还有那个很有耐心的，很像在带门徒的，
helping them to learn through their imperfections and disasters,
在他帮助他们引导他们在他们的错误或者是一片混乱当中
They're going to feel safe.
他们就会觉得在这当中很安全
They will grow faster than you'll ever realize.
他们成长的速度会超过你以为的速度
But if things happen in their life and they get scolded by us,
如果是在他们生命中发生的事件
for being imperfect,
在他们特别是在学校当中是没不够完美的。
They got an 85 instead of a 90.
他们考试只得85分，得不到90分，考不到。
What's wrong with you, you lazy child?
你怎么回事？怎么才考85分？你太懒了。
What are we creating in that child?
你看这样在孩子里面塑造出什么
？We're not teaching them.
我们并没有在教导他们。
I don't know what we are to them, but we're not being teachers.
所以我们这样子的方式根本不是像一个教师一样。
Our children need to know that they need to feel safe with us.
我们孩子必须知道在我们面在我们环绕当中他是安全的
and that we help them along the journey.
然后我们来帮助他们自己来走这样的旅程
Israel was not perfect in their journey.
以色列百姓在他们的旅程中都不完美
Many times God had complete reason to wipe the nation out.
很多时候神都有足够理由要把整个民族给毁掉
But he didn't.
但是他却没有
And he wouldn't.
他也不会这么做
He would always use the occasion to help them to learn and to grow.
他会利用每一次的机会，每一个事件来帮助他们学习跟成长。
There is a goal to this journey.
在这个旅程中是有目标的。
But each person on that journey, including our children,
但是照每一个人这个生命的旅程，照着我们每一个孩子的样式
must be given space and grace.
就是必须要给予这样的空间跟恩典。
To get there on their own time,
然后让他们可以照着他们的时间
and in their way,
还照着他们的方式来达成
Their journey may not be the journey that their parents had.
他们的旅程可能不会像他们父母的旅程那样
How often do we hear about the proverbial conflict between father and son?
我们常常就是会听见父亲跟儿子之间这样的话语上的冲突
The father builds up a family business.
然后这个父亲就建造起这家族的事业
hoping and praying that his son will take it over someday
就希望而且祷告儿子有天长大之后能够接手这事业
but when his son decides he wants to be a violin player instead
然后这个孩子在成长过程中他决定想要当一个小提琴家
or a baseball pitcher
或者是当一个棒球明星
or whatever
或是想当其他的
That creates conflict between father and son.
那就塑造出跟爸爸之间的很大的冲突了。
We must give our kids grace to be who they are.
我们必须将恩典给我们的孩子，让他成为他们被造的样子。
And not force our journey on them.
那不要把我们自己的旅程强加在他们身上。
That applies to everybody in the body of Messiah.
这都是在弥赛亚肢体里面每一个人都必须这么去做的。
But especially to our children.
特别是对像我们的孩子。
Now we are on the next section of Exodus.
现在我们要进到出埃及记的另外一个部分了。
There's only one more section after this one.
在这边还有一个部分。
We're not going to get to that section.
那个部分是今天我们不会去讲的。
I'm just going to say a few words about it near the end here.
在这个结束最后的结束，我只会用几句话来先跟你们带过。
But this new section is called the Book of the Redeemed.
然后那个我们这一本，我们这个部分，我们称为被救赎者之书。
Chapters 19 to 24.
19章到24章。
First of all, the theological significance.
在这一个段落，他们在神学性的重要。
Israel now,
以色列现在
on their journey,
在他们的 旅程中
has arrived to one or two of these mountains.
是，就是要进到这两座山。
This is Mount Sinai.
这就是西乃山。
The picture on the left,
在那个左边那个画面
is what some scholars consider to be the northern route of Mount Sinai.
那可能一些学者认为就是西乃山比较北边的部分。
This took Israel from Egypt to the Promised Land through a northern Sinai route.
就是让他们出埃及时候走那个西乃山北边的那个道路。
And if that's the case, then this mountain here is the best candidate for Mount Sinai.
这个
This mountain on the left is the best candidate.
左边这个画面就是西乃山北边的那个画面。
The picture on the right is a more traditional picture.
那在右边是比较传统的一个相片。
It's a picture of the mountains in the south of the Sinai Peninsula.
那就是在那个西乃山南边的画面。
And it's the more traditional place for Mount Sinai.
而且是讲到西乃山比较传统，讲到西乃山时候的那个这个画面是这个。
There is a third opinion
还有第三种观点
that has been gaining in popularity over the last 3, 4, 5 years.
那是差不多过去
3 to 5 years.
在过去三五年出来的一个观念。
And that's that Mount Sinai is in Saudi Arabia.
就是西乃山是在沙地阿拉伯。
There is nothing true to that whatsoever.
那这样的观点完全不是真的。
It's founded by false premises.
那是从那个错误的那种好像对的应许观。
Advocated by third, fourth rate archaeologists.
是一些第三那个是第三。
But it's been taught by people who really are not archaeologists.
Okay. 是。他说应该算是像是三流的那个考古学家讲出来的话，事实上是不太入流的考古学家。
And has been soundly refuted by believing and unbelieving archaeologists.
所以事实上也被这些是基督徒或非基督徒考古学家都不认同的说法。
But for now,
但现在
let's use the traditional picture.
那到底哪一个才是传统的画面西乃山呢
？In Exodus 19,
在十九章
，Israel is at Mount Sinai.
以色列人经过西乃山。
And we all know the story.
我们都知道那故事。
We need to ask the question.
我们就要问这个问题了。
What is this revelation? Next slide. What is this revelation of Mount Sinai?
在西乃山的启示到底是什么
？Now, as we're talking about this revelation,
当我们谈到这样的启示
，we need to keep it in perspective.
我们必须要保有这样的一个观念。
Whatever we think about this revelation,
不管我们什么时候想到这样的启示
，we must realize something.
我们必须了解一些事。
That there never was any event like this in all of biblical history.
再没有像这样的一个圣经的历史在谈论这个了。
Not before this.
在这个之前从来没有过。
And not after this.
在这之后也没有过。
This is a one-time occasion.
这是一次的事件。
Where God finally spoke.
神就是这么说出来。
And he gave human beings a copy of what he spoke, a written copy of what he said.
他把他自己讲出来的话来复制的成为写下来的话给他的百姓。
And what he spoke on this mountain,
他在这山上所说的话
was accompanied by incredible phenomena.
是非常奇妙的这样的方式来写出来。
It was like a sound and light show.
他就那个声音就很像雷轰一样。
Because God was trying to engrave it on the brains of His people.
因为神企图要来就是来翻转他百姓的那个大脑。
Furthermore,
还有更多。
However, we think of this revelation of Mount Sinai.
只要我们想到在西乃山上的这样的启示。
remember this.
我们要记得这件。
And this is important.
这是非常重要的。
The God who spoke at Mount Sinai,
就是那位在西乃山说话的神,
is the same God who spoke through Yeshua.
是同样一位对耶稣说话的神,
He's the same God who spoke to Paul.
也是同样一位对保罗说话的神,
He's the same God who revealed Revelation to John.
也是同样一位对约翰, 启示出在启示录整本画面的神。
One God, the same God revealed the entire Bible.
同样一位神，他在整本圣经在启示出来的。
From Genesis to Revelation.
从创世纪一直到启示录。
It's all from the mouth of the same God.
都是从同样一位神的口中说出来的。
There is not a God of the Old Testament and a God of the New Testament.
所以绝对没有新约的旧约的神或是新约的神。
He's the same God.
他是同样一位神。
And if this one God wants to be believed,
若是这一位神要你这么去相信,
He would never contradict himself.
他就不会自相矛盾。
He would never change his mind.
他也不会改变他的心意。
And what he says in one portion of scripture, one portion of the Bible,
他如果在圣经里面这个部分说了,
will be perfectly consistent with what he says in another part of the Bible.
绝对会完美的持续到另外一个部分在圣经里面另外一部分他所讲的。
And that it is human arrogance.
那是人们的那样的一个想法。
That puts one portion of scripture against another portion of scripture.
把这样的圣经这个部分好像跟另外圣经另外一个部分好像相冲突的看法。
As if to say, God said that here.
好像说神在这边这么说。
But now years later, here's what God said.
在之后神又是这么说。
And we as if they are in contradiction or competition with each other.
好像他说的话是自相矛盾而且是彼此冲突的一样。
No other time in human history has revelation ever been made from God in the way it was at Mount Sinai.
再没有在人类史上有像在西乃山这样的神的启示神的彰显那么大的事件了。
And there's good reason for it.
这有很好的原因在。
Because God wanted forever engraved in the human experience that He spoke.
那他就是要让人类有极大的经历到神是一个说话的神。
And He wrote what He spoke.
而且他将他所说的话写下来。
And everything that He would speak from that point.
从那一刻他所讲的所有一切。
Would be based on what He spoke at Mount Sinai.
都是根基于他在西乃山所讲的。
And would never contradict what he spoke at Mount Sinai.
而且绝对不会跟他在西乃山所讲的有任何冲突。
It's one God and one word.
他是一神，而且是他所说的话是一贯的。
So what is this revelation that was spoken at Mount Sinai?
那在西乃山的启示是什么呢？
There are several things that Exodus says about it.
在这出埃及记他有稍微谈到一些。
First of all,
首先
It's the written word of God.
就是神写下来的话语。
It's an amazing thing that God wrote down what he said.
很奇妙就是说神把他的话这么美妙的写下来了。
It's there in writing.
在那边是写下来的话。
You can read it.
你可以读得到。
And it's the word of God.
那是神的话。
And he was writing, he's been writing his words ever since.
所以从那时候他就把他话都写下来。
Secondly,
第二
it's a covenant.
就是那个约。
In Exodus chapter 19,
在出埃及记十九章
God calls Moses and the leadership of Israel up to the mountain.
神就把那个摩西身为一个领袖臣带到那个西乃山上。
And he says, I'm going to make a covenant with you.
他说我要跟你立这约。
A covenant is a personal relationship.
这样的约是跟你个人有关的。
A personal relationship guided by promises and commitments.
这样的跟神跟个人之间的关系是就是根基在这样的约定里面。
Verified by
在应许里面都行。
And this relationship with his promises and commitments is verified by qualified witnesses.
所以这样的一个关系的立的约还有这样的尾声就是在这样的完美的关系里面要呈现出来。
And these promises and commitments are put into writing.
这样的应许跟那个约呢就写下来了。
And it's built into a covenant that if someone were to be unfaithful to these promises and commitments, is built into the covenant,
就是来立了这个约。
That if somebody were to be unfaithful to these promises,
若以至于若是有人违了约。
The other person could really take that person to court.
那另外一方就可以把这个人告到法院去了。
When God gave this revelation on Mount Sinai,
当神在西乃山给这样的启示
in Exodus chapter 24,
在二十四章
is referred to by a name.
就是用一个名字来讲
The very first name that this revelation was called,
在这样的启示里面第一个出现的名字
is in Hebrew,
是用希伯来文讲
Sefer HaBerit.
Sefer HaBerit,
the book of the covenant,
就是约书。
How whatever else we think of the teachings of Moses, the first five books of the Bible.
所以不管我们怎么想，摩西所写的这些书，这些五经，就是。
We need to remember.
我们必须要去记住的。
The first and foremost.
这是最首先，而且是已经立定的。
It is a written covenant document.
它是已经写下来的约的一个文件。
Oh, we need to do a whole seminar just on covenant here.
所以甚至这样的约我们可以有一整个的那个这样的上课教导。
There's so much to learn.
你知道在这约里面好多可以学的。
Covenant defines
盟约就定义了
the kind of relationship
定义了那样的关系。
Believers have with God.
就是信徒与神的关系。
There's many different kinds of relationships.
有很多不一样的关系。
There's, you know, there's friendship.
有友谊。
There's casual relationships.
有一般的友谊。
But covenant is a specific technical word.
但是约呢，是一个很定义的一个用词。
And by calling his revelation the book of the covenant,
所以称这个是他的启示的一个约书。
God is saying the kind of relationship we have with each other, me and my people, is a covenant kind of relationship.
所以神说这样的约就是我跟我的百姓个别的关系。
Torah.
Torah.
Torah is another word that God uses to define this revelation.
Torah 是神用另外一个字来定义这样的关系。
The most common title that the revelation of Mount Sinai gives itself.
最大众一般的对在西乃山的启示的看法。
It calls itself Sefer HaTorah.
他们称这个自己这样的约书，称这样的约书为 Torah.
The Book of the Torah.
就是妥拉之书。
The word Torah does not mean law.
妥拉的意思不是律法。
It's a word Hebrew, common Hebrew word that means instruction.
在希伯来文最这个是统称为就是指导指引。
That's the nature of the revelation of Mount Sinai.
这就是那个在西乃山启示的本质。
It's not the giving of the law.
不是要赐下颁律法，不是。
It's the making of a covenant.
而是要立这个约。
And the giving of instruction.
然后将这样的指导指示给出来。
Torah is the description of that covenant relationship with God.
就是描述了跟神之间这样的约的一个关系。
How do we know what this covenant relationship looks like?
我们如何知道这样的约的这样的关系到底长怎样呢？
The rest of the revelation of Mount Sinai describes it for us.
再来接着在西乃山这样的一个启示，这样的约也开始描述给我们知道了。
The five books of Moses to describe the covenant relationship we have with God.
摩西的五经就开始描述出我们跟神之间盟约这样的关系的画面应该是怎样。
The five books of Moses
摩西这五经
never calls itself the book of the law
从来
in Hebrew.
在希伯来文里面从来不称摩西五经为律法书。
It calls itself either the book of the covenant or the book of the Torah.
他摩西称这五书是一个约的书，要不就是那个妥拉之书。
Covenant defines the kind of relationship believers have with God.
这样的约也开始要看见跟神之间的关系应该是怎样。
Torah, the revelation of Mount Sinai,
Torah 就是西乃山神的启示
is the description of that covenant relationship with God.
就是在描述跟神的关系该是如何的书。
Let's take it a step further.
然后再往前跨一步。
Covenant,
盟约
defines the kind of relationships believers have with each other.
也定义了在信徒彼此之间的关系应该怎么样。
Torah is the description of the relationships within the covenant community.
也描述了在这样的立约的整个社群，整个社群里面人与人之间的关系。
The revelation of Mount Sinai not only describes how to relate to God and vice versa.
所以在西乃山这样的启示，不只是直线条在描述跟神的关系而已。
But it also teaches us how we relate to each other in this covenant community.
所以在这样的社区里面，也在约定，也在描述了我们在横线条跟彼此之间的关系该是怎么样。
All five books of Moses.
这摩西的五经
teach something concerning covenant.
教导我们关于这样的一个约所在意的。
The first book of the Bible.
在圣经里面的第一本书。
In Hebrew, it's called Bereshit.
在希伯来文称为 Bereshit.
The first important Hebrew word is Bereshit, in the beginning.
就是 Bereshit, 就是意思就是一开始。
That's Genesis.
那就创世纪。
There,
在那里
we find the beginning of covenant relationships.
我们就看见这个约的关系就开始了。
Second book of the Bible, Shemot.
那第二本书叫做 Shemot.
The book we're studying.
就是我们所现在在读的
Exodus,
就是出埃及记
Here we read about the written covenant.
我们在这边就读到是写下来的约
The third book of the Bible,
圣经的第三本书
In Hebrew is called Vayikra,
那希伯来文叫 Vayikra,
Leviticus,
就是利未记
Here we find how we maintain the covenant is maintained.
这边就教导我们如何持守住这约
That's its covenant emphasis.
那就是这个约所要强调如何持守住。
The fourth book of the Bible.
圣经的第四本书。
Bamidbar.
Bamidbar.
Numbers.
那是民数记。
Is a book that we could use to look at the covenant community as a whole.
然后我们也看见就是在盟约里面整个群体是一个共同体。
The fifth book of Moses, the last book of Moses.
摩西五经的最后一本书。
Written 40 years after this event,
就是在这个事件的40年之后写下来的。
Called Devarim in Hebrew,
在希伯来文叫做 Devarim,
Deuteronomy,
就是申命记了。
This talks about the renewing of the covenant.
这个书卷在谈到将这个约再次的更新。
And it hints at the fact that covenants, by virtue of them being covenants,
意思就是说这个约要照着实际让它成为这个约
can and we're supposed to be periodically renewed
可以好像真的就是在重新再一次的立约的
so the revelation of Mount Sinai was the written word of God and it was a covenant document
所以在西乃山这样的启示是写下来的约也是一个文件
thirdly
第三
We already talked about this already.
我们刚刚已经谈到这个了。
The revelation of Mount Sinai
在西乃山的启示
is called Torah.
称为妥拉。
Let's say a few more words about Torah.
我们多谈一点关于妥拉。
The word Torah
妥拉这个字
means instruction or teaching.
指的就是指引或者教导。
It does not mean law.
妥拉不代表不是表示是律法。
It does not mean law.
妥拉不是律法。
How do we perceive as the five books of Moses as being the law?
我们如何竟然把摩西五经看成是律法？
I wish you could have been at Amy's house last night.
我真希望各位昨天都有在 Amy 的淑芳姐的家。
We talked about this.
我们有谈到关于妥拉不是律法这件事。
The five books of Moses has acquired the name law.
所以在摩西里面他并没有讲说这是律法
Not from the Hebrew text
从希伯来的观念也没有这个意思
But from a mistranslation from the Greek New Testament
但是因着新约希腊文的翻译的因素
In reality there is no such thing as the law of Moses
事实上呢在摩西里讲的里面完全没有那个律法的观念
It's Torah
而是妥拉而已
Instruction from God.
就是从神来的指引指示
What else is the revelation of Mount Sinai?
在西乃山的启示还有哪些东西呢
The written word of God
就神写下来的话语
The covenant
还有约
The Torah.
还有妥拉。
Oh, here's a strange one for you.
还有另外一个很奇特的、很奇怪的一个要给丢给你听。
This kind of goes along with the covenant idea.
这也是跟约有关系的一种想法。
The revelation of Mount Sinai.
西乃山的启示。
Is a divine marriage document.
是一个神圣的婚姻的约。
How so?
How so?
Let me explain this a little bit.
怎么会这样呢？对不起，我来让我来解释一下。
This is a Jewish idea.
这是一个犹太人的想法。
But I believe the rabbis are correct with this.
是有一个拉比来帮忙纠正的这些。
There are many things happening at Mount Sinai.
在西乃山也发生了太多事了。
Among which, a divine marriage was taking place.
在这当中也有一个神圣的婚姻。
The picture you see up here.
我们看见这个画面。
Is beautiful artwork.
是很漂亮的这样的一个装饰。
But with a very traditional Aramaic text.
还有很漂亮的亚兰文的书写在那里。
The words for the text are about 2,000 years old.
这个话语差不多2000年之久了。
And it's a traditional Jewish marriage document.
这是传统的犹太的婚姻的约书。
Because the Jewish people understand that marriage is a covenant relationship.
因为犹太人了解这样的一个婚姻的婚约，这样的一个关系。
And this covenant relationship is governed by commitments.
这样的约定是就因着委身而被行使出来。
These commitments are written down.
这样的委身是要被写下来的。
And they traditionally are written down in the way which you see it in the picture.
他们这样的委身写下来的就是现在放给你看的这一张图的，这是传统的方式，就这样写。
Just about every Jewish married couple has one of these documents.
所以传统的所有的那些犹太人的婚约里面都有这一份文件。
You can put whatever artwork you want on it, design it any way you want to look like.
你可以让它外显出来是怎么样，或是你可以把它设计成怎么样。
But the words of the covenant are always the same.
但是约里面的那些话都是一样的。
This is called a ketubah.
这称为 ketubah.
From the Hebrew word which means written.
那希伯来文的意思 ,Ketubah, 就是写下来的。
The rabbis see the revelation of Mount Sinai,
拉比们看西乃山的这样的启示
as a divine Ketubah,
是一个很神圣的 Ketubah,
that when God married his people Israel,
就是神娶了以色列百姓
he gave her the marriage document,
他就给了一份婚约的文件
we call it the Bible,
我们称为圣经。
What was happening there?
在那边发生什么事呢?
To understand what was happening there, we have to go back just a wee bit to Exodus chapter 6.
若是要了解，我们必须回来看出埃及记第六章。
In chapter 6, verses 6 and 7,
在第六章的六到第七节,
God through Moses,
神透过摩西,
told Israel,
告诉以色列,
I'm going to take you out of Egypt,
我要把你带出埃及,
I'm going to redeem you,
我要来救赎你们。
I'm going to take you to the land.
我要把你们带到那地。
And I'm going to take you unto myself.
而且要带你们独独归属给我。
That phrase that's used in Hebrew, take you unto myself.
那个句子在希伯来语里面说，我要带你单单属于我。
It's a phrase that's commonly used to describe what happens when a man takes a woman to be his wife.
同样的字也用在男人要娶妻子的时候对妻子说的话。
Could it be,
有可能,
and I throw this as a possibility,
我说的是说有可能,
could it be that at this point God was becoming engaged to his people?
有可能在这时候神就跟他的百姓有这样的订婚的约了。
God was proposing marriage to the people of Israel.
神是假设是要来娶以色列百姓的。
And now here at Exodus 19,
再来这边出来集进十九章。
With this wedding motif, what do we have?
在这边婚礼该要有的。
The bride was in trouble.
那新娘落入麻烦中了。
God reached down with his hand.
神的手就伸出来。
And took his bride by the hand.
是用手牵着他的新娘。
And led her out of slavery.
把他从这样的奴隶当中引导出来。
He rescued his bride.
来救赎拯救他的新娘出来。
And he took her away to be with himself.
把他带开来单单属于他自己。
He took her out to the wilderness.
把他带到旷野当中。
And here we are, the wilderness of Sinai.
再一次我们看到西乃旷野。
And God says to his bride in Exodus chapter 19,
在十九章神就对他的新娘说
I'm going to make a covenant with you.
我要跟你立这约。
That means I'm going to marry you.
意思就是说我要娶你为妻。
And then he calls Israel by a wonderful, endearing name.
然后他就给以色列一个很美、非常亲密的名字。
I believe it's verse 5.
我相信就是在那第五节
Where God says to Israel,
神就对以色列说
You shall be to me a segula.
然后你应该属于我成为 segula.
What is that word segula?
Segula 这个字是什么意思呢
Well, it's a common word used in ancient Semitic languages.
就是在过去古代是 很共同的一个字。
It was a word used by kings, for example.
这举例它是王在用的字
that when they would conquer a people,
当他们征服了一群人
they would acquire all kinds of stuff,
他们会要求各式各样的
treasures untold,
然后还有从他们所有的那些珍珠宝都会要求过来
but the king would single out certain treasures,
但是那个这个王会 single out, 就是单单爱一个很宝贝的珍宝
and put them in places of honor
就把他们放在很尊荣的地方
and he would say this is my segula
他就会王就会讲这是我的 segula
my special prized treasure
这是我特别有价值的珍宝
the word is also in the feminine in Hebrew
而且在希伯来文里面这个字眼用的是女性代名词
which lends it to be applicable to the bride
那这个指的就是一个新妇新娘的意思
and by using this term
因着使用这个字眼
God was looking at his bride
神在看着他的心腹
he was looking straight into her eye
他是直接看着他的眼睛
and he was saying to her
正在对他的新娘说
I love all the peoples of the world
我把这世界所有人都放到一边
but there's only one
但是在我眼中只有一位
That I call my segula.
我称它是我的 segula.
My prized treasure.
就是我的无价之宝。
And that's you.
那就是你。
It's a very endearing term.
对，这个字眼是非常亲密的字眼。
So there God took his bride by the hand.
所以神就用手牵着他的新娘。
In Exodus 19.
在出埃及记十九章。
It's possible to see that as a divine wedding.
有可能我们就可以把这张看成是一个神圣的婚礼。
I'm using this word possible now, okay?
好，你就要记得我用这个字眼说可能是。
Because we got to be careful, we can't 100% prove it this way.
因为我们比较小心谨慎，不是百分之百可以证明就是这样。
But I'm suggesting that the language and the scene is lending us to this interpretation.
所以我们用这样的，他用这样的字眼，用这样的方式，有可能就是应该是在是这种样子。
The divine wedding taking place in Mount Sinai.
就是在西乃山上就有这样一个神圣的婚礼了。
In Exodus 20.
在出埃及记二十章。
Beginning with what's called the Ten Commandments,
就开始这样从十诫来开始。
God now gives his bride the ketubah.
神现在就给他的新娘有这样的 ketubah 文件。
The written covenant.
写下来的约书。
And in this document,
在这文件里
God promises to be the faithful bridegroom to his people.
他对这个新妇保证他会是一个忠实的丈夫。
And in this document,
在这个文件里
God says to his bride,
神就对他的新娘说
This is how this marriage will be a happy one.
这个婚姻这如何是能够成为那快乐的婚姻
This is how there will be fruit and happiness in this marriage.
在这婚姻里面是多结果子而且是快乐的
If both you and I live according to the words of this covenant.
只要是你我同样活出在这个约书里面的状况的话
The Ten Commandments, by the way,
还有另外这十诫
is nowhere found in the Hebrew text.
不在找在那个希伯来文里面有再有这样的的字眼。
It's called in Hebrew the Ten Words.
甚至不是十诫，在希伯来文称为十句话。
Which suggests
那是要建议的是
that these ten short statements
这个短短十个声明
is just a summary of the rest of the covenant
只是把这个整个约书的总结的十句话而已
functioning much like the table of contents to a book
很比较像是书本里面把它标出十个总结。
The rest of the book just expands on what the table of contents says.
然后其他的接着的整本书就是照着这十个标题来把它解释扩大开来。
The rest of the written Torah just expands what the ten words say.
所以这妥拉这就是在照着这十句话把它扩大开来，把它拆解开来了解。
But in our little motif here,
但是在我们这边小小的。
The Torah functions as a divine marriage covenant agreement.
所以要了解到妥拉事实上就是在这样婚约里面共同承认的一个约书。
For interest's sake,
还有更多的来看这个益处的话
，We will not get to this part of Exodus.
我们不会这次不会讲到这个出埃及记的这部分。
But in Exodus chapters 25 to 40,
但是在出埃及记25-40,
God gives Israel the instructions to build the tabernacle.
神给他们百姓指示如何盖一个圣就会幕。
In Hebrew, the word tabernacle is mishkan.
那在希伯来文的会幕叫 mishkan,
which means the place of dwelling.
就是所谓的居所，居住之所。
Can we understand this tabernacle?
我们可以了解到这样的一个会幕吗
？To be the house of this married couple,
成为这个新婚夫妇的居住的地方。
Where God and His people fellowship in intimacy together.
就是神跟他百姓有亲密关系的地方。
Where divine meals are served.
是在这样神圣的这样的供应的当中的。
Furthermore,
还有更往前。
What is a marriage without a wedding ring?
在婚姻里面会有那个结婚的戒指。
My ring is being enlarged.
因为我的戒指必须要把它扩大开来，所以又戴不进去了。
But those of us who are married, we usually wear a wedding ring, right?
所以结过婚的都会戴结婚戒指，对不对？
What does the ring function as?
这个戒指它的功能是什么呢
？It's an outward visible symbol to that marriage.
是外显看得见在这婚姻里面的记号。
And it does two things.
这会有两件事。
For the person wearing that ring,
这个人若是戴着这结婚戒指
，it's a message to others.
这是告诉别人有一个资讯。
That we can have a wonderful, nice relationship with each other.
我们可以跟彼此这一晚可以有很好的关系。
But when we see the ring here,
但是当我看到这戒指
，it reminds us that a marriage type of relationship is reserved only for that married couple.
这婚姻里面的这样的亲密的关系，只能。保存存留在婚姻里面的另外的那个对方
And for the person wearing the ring,
对那个戴着结婚戒指的人
It's reminded to us,
也在提醒我们
that we can have a nice, wonderful relationship with other people,
我们可以这个晚上跟对方有很好的这样的关系
But the married kind of relationship is reserved only for us.
但是婚姻里面最亲密的关系只是能够存留是给我跟我的配偶而已。
Now in this divine marriage,
这样的一个神圣的婚姻
between God and Israel,
是在神跟以色列百姓之间的。
Is there a wedding ring?
那这样的结婚戒指是什么呢
？Well, I just throw this out to you as a suggestion.
那我也这么建议你们可以这么看就是了。
In Exodus chapter 31,
就在出埃及记31,
God says,
神说
，Shabbat is an oath, a sign.
Shabbat 就是一个记号。
Between me and the children of Israel forever.
就是我跟我的以色列百姓之间那个永约的关系的记号。
The word oath is an outward visible symbol.
Oath 就是这个约口约，就是说是外显出来的记号。
Could it be that God chose the seventh day Shabbat as a sign for this marriage?
所以有没有可能神拣选了这第七天安息日成为这个结婚戒指的记号？
That when God's people celebrate Shabbat God's way,
所以神的百姓用神的方式来庆祝这安息日。
It's a sign to the world.
来彰显给那个整个世界来看。
That there's a relationship here with God.
是我跟神有关系的。
And it's a reminder to God's people.
而且要来提醒神的百姓。
That we have a divine bridegroom that we are to remain faithful to.
我们有一个神圣的一个新郎是我们必须要忠心的。
So,
所以
there's the wedding ring in chapter 31 of Exodus.
所以在出埃及记31章是有这样的一个结婚戒指的记号。
We have the engagement, the wedding,The ketubah, the house.
我们有订婚，有婚礼，有 ketubah， 这是约书，就是文件，有房子了，有
the ring，
有戒指了。
What's missing？
还缺失了什么呢
？What part of a wedding is missing here？
在婚礼里面还缺失了一个什么？witness。
Well, yeah, well, that's very good.
啊，那也很好。
It just so happens.
还有一个。
That in Deuteronomy,
在生命记里
chapter 30-31,
在30到31章
God calls upon two people to sign the ketubah.
30-31节那边讲到说神叫人有 ketubah.
All the heaven and earth are witnesses, says God.
天地都在证明神。
So I should have put that down here. That's very good.
这很好，我会把它加上这里。
What else really important is missing?
还有在婚姻约里面还少了一个是什么呢
？The banquet、
啊。还有婚宴呢、啊、
？What about the banquet？
婚宴呢、啊、
？Revelation
19:19。Revelation 这边写错了，应该就是那个启示录十九章第九节。
Talks about what？
他启示录十九章第九节在讲什么呢？
The marriage supper of the Lamb.
就是羔羊的婚宴嘛。
Why do we wait that long for a wedding banquet?
为什么等那么久才有这婚宴？
For a simple reason.
这理由很简单。
God's bride is being added to daily.
所以因为神的新妇、神的新娘每一天都在加进来当中。
Every day, every hour.
每一天，每一小时。
Someplace in this world.
在世界的某个地方。
Somebody is coming to know the bridegroom personally as their savior.
有人就来认识这个新郎，成为他个人的救主。
And according using Paul's language.
若是用保罗用的语言方式。
They are therefore grafted into Israel.
他们就是要来进到这样的以色列里。
One bridegroom, one bride.
一个新郎，一个新妇。
God's people, Israel.
就是神的百姓以色列。
Someday in the fullness of time.
有一天就是当日子满足了。
The bride will be complete.
那这样的新妇的数目就满足了。
All who are chosen in Him before the world was even formed.
所以所有在创世以前已经被拣选的。
Will be brought to the bridegroom.
都会被带到新郎面前。
It will all be complete.
这都是完全的数字了。
And we'll see our bridegroom face to face.
我们就要面对面来看见我们的新郎。
And then we will have joy untold.
然后之后我们就有永恒的喜乐。
And notice,
要知道
in Revelation,
在启示录
in what format this joy will take place.
在这样的喜乐里面到底是什么样子呢？
We're going to eat.
我们要来就是那个喜乐的样子就是我们要来吃。
Okay, let me just finish this and we'll finish it for the day.
好，然后我们用这个来结束今天要讲的。
What is that revelation on Mount Sinai?
在西乃山上的启示又是怎样呢？
It's the written word of God.
就是神写下的话语。
It's the covenant.
是一个约。
It's the Torah.
是妥拉。
It's the divine ketubah.
是神圣的 ketubah, 就是婚姻婚约。
It also serves as the national testimony or witness for Israel.
而且也是那个以色列一个整个国家的见证。
In Exodus 25,
在二十五章
，When God told Israel to make a tabernacle,
当神要求以色列民要建造这个会幕
，He said make a tent.
他说要盖一个会幕。
Make that tent into two parts.
有两个部分。
make an intersection of that tent.
在这个会幕里面有内院里面。
That will be called the Holy of Holies.
在要分成两部分，在里面那部分称为至圣所。
And inside that room,
在那个至圣所里
is put a box.
就有一个盒子。
And put this in the box, he says.
他说把这些东西放到了盒子里。
What were they to put into the box?
他们在盒子放着什么东西呢？
Something that the Hebrew text calls ha'edut.
在希伯来文称为 ha'edut.
Ha'edut is a covenant term.
这是一个约的一个术语叫 ha'edut.
It can be translated as testimony or witness.
可以被翻译成是见证。或者是见证。
It's a term in reference to the revelation of Mount Sinai.
这个就是连接到西乃山启示出来的那个见证。
And in that box in Israel's holy place.
就是在那个会幕里面神圣的地方的那个盒子里面要摆这个东西。
In the divine home.
就是在他神圣的家里。
Was a copy of the witness.
就是这个见证的一个复印。
The document testifying
就是这样的一个文件来见证的
testifying who God is
来见证神是怎样的神
who God's people are
神的百姓是怎么样
how to become one of God's people
如何成为神的百姓
how to enjoy being God's people
如何享受在成为百姓里
how to be fruitful being part of God's people
好如何来成就成为神的百姓
how God's people relate to each other
神的百姓如何彼此连结
that's the Bible
那就是我们的圣经了。
That's the revelation of Mount Sinai.
那就是西乃山的启示。
It's a national testimony and witness to the world.
那是整个国家对整全世界的一个见证。
Of all the things I just mentioned.
就是刚刚我所谈到的，我提到的所有的这些事，都是这个见证。
That's all the things that was at Mount Sinai.
这就是西乃山所有的这启示要谈论的。
That's all we have time for today, friends.
朋友们，我们今天时间只足够我们讲到这里。
We didn't have time to talk about the political, the family, and the educational significance of this whole thing.
我们真的还不够足够时间讲到那些政治啊，或是教育的部分。
And we were not able to get to the last section of Exodus chapters 25 to 40.
也没有足够的时间要能够讲从25章到40章。
If we were able to go there,
若是我们能够真的能够讲到那边，
we would be talking about the tabernacle and the priesthood.
然后我们就会谈到关于会幕还有祭司职。
And we would have been discussing about one of God's absolute moments of brilliance.
我们就会谈论到神的那很神圣的那个很奇妙，真的是很聪明的一个设计。
Sounds strange to hear that sort of God, doesn't it?
这听起来是好像不是我们平常在想的神哦。
I mean, every one of God's moments are brilliance.
因为事实上说，神的每一刻都是非常很太妙的。
But he is shining in the tabernacle and temple.
他在他的会幕跟圣殿中所闪耀出来的。
God's ability as an educator is shining forth brighter than anything else.
神所要给他百姓所教育出来的是超过一切的这样的亮光。
It's in that institution that we weren't able to study.
就是这样的情况下，是值得我们去研究的。
That we see how God planned.
我们就会看见神是怎么样去计划这一切。
To teach both Israel and the world.
来教导他的计划如何去教导以色列百姓，还教导全世界的百姓。
Who he is.
教导他们知道神自己是谁。
Who the Messiah is.
知道弥赛亚是谁。
And how to relate to God through the Messiah by grace through faith.
如何透过因着信因着透过恩典透过弥赛亚来跟神做连结。
And how to live as one of God's people.
如何活出神百姓的样式。
It's a brilliant educational scheme.
那实在是很太聪明的一个教育的方式了。
Along with the cycle of holy days.
所以那是就是在那个好像在带门徒的这样的一个很神圣的一个设计里。
To teach God's people incredible truths about himself.
在教导神的百姓，他关乎他自己很奇妙的他是谁。
But that will be for another time, another year.
那也许这个就要等哪一年的哪一天了。
So at this point, I'll stop teaching Exodus.
所以这一刻我们教导出埃及。
And,
到这一点
Before we close,
在我们结束之前
we'll take a few questions.
我们会回答几个问题。
Oh, it's just one. It's very similar.
Yeah. 他说这一点其实蛮相近的。
About the Torah being a national constitution.
就是。
Yeah, okay, I'll just say a few comments about this.
好，我大概稍微提一下这一点。
This is another aspect of the revelation of Mount Sinai.
这也是另外一个在西乃山的启示他所要讲的。
Israel now.
以色列现在。
Is no longer just a family.
不只是一个家族而已了。
At Mount Sinai, Israel becomes a nation.
在西乃山之后他们成为一个国了。
What is it that governed, that is to govern Israel as a nation?
那如何来管理这以色列成为一个国之后的国家呢？
Israel was to have no king.
那因为以色列并没有立王。
Israel was to have no prime minister.
也没有宰相。
Israel was to have God as their king.
他们拥有的王就是神。
And the national constitution would be the Torah.
那这样的国家的宪法就是这个妥拉。
Instructing Israel how to be a nation among nations.
引导以色列如何在成为这个国家，在众国当中成为一个国家。
Instructing Israel how to conduct business.
指导以色列如何能够做这些商务。
How to make war.
然后如何来盖那些城墙
？How to be married？
好，如何去有行使这婚姻
？Instructing Israel about their economic system？
也指导以色列如何设定这样的经济体系
？And everything else that's appropriate for a nation？
还有一切一个国家所需要的一切都在这指引里。
That's God's intention with the Torah。
这就是神在陀拉里面定义要做的。
Notice these six things, friends。
朋友们，当这六件事你要知道的。
It was never, 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 never.
它永远永远不是，永远不是，永远不是。
Never, never, never.
永远不是，永远不是。
And never.
而且也永远不是。
God's intention.
神是以神定义是。
That the revelation of Mount Sinai.
就是西乃山的启示。
To be used as a document for salvation.
被这西乃山的文件被用成是那个救赎的文件。
In other words,
换句话说
God never gave this book,
神从来没说要给这本书
especially the five books of Moses,
就特别就是这摩西五经
to people,
给百姓
for them to live by it,
让人们 活在这里面
and in doing so earn God's grace, justification or salvation.
又活出来而且照着这样每一条例来做来赚得神的救恩
They were redeemed first by God.
他们是首先已经被神救赎了
Then they were given God's word.
之后才给出神写下来的话
This is the pattern God is setting for all of us.
这是神要设立下来给每一个人的模式
The entire word of God has the same functions as the Torah.
神所有的话语他所有的功能都跟妥拉一样
The word of God is for us believers to live by.
神的话语就是给信徒能够这么去活出来的指引
Living by the Bible does not get us saved.
活出圣经所给我们的指示不是说你就能赚得这救恩
Rather,
您也是
if we live according to the scriptures,
若是我们照着经文这么去活出来
those of us who are saved by grace through faith in Yeshua,
这些因着相信耶稣在恩典里面来得救的
we'll live a life of blessing and fruitfulness,
就能够活出一个蒙福而且是昌盛的生命
That pattern was set by the revelation of Mount Sinai.
这个就是在西乃山的启示所设定下来的这样的模式。
That was the last point.
这就是第六点所要谈论的。
Okay.
好吗？
刚才已经有人送问题过来了哈，那
我来讲啊。
如果时间够哈，你们可以再送上来哈。记得哈，明天早上仍然哈还有两堂哈 area 的礼拜哈，在我们教会哈，所以你明天跟八点跟十点哈，八点一堂哈，我们通常是八点一堂，然后十点一堂哈。那你明天跟你们的牧师请个假过来哈，如果你们继续喜欢听的话哈。
好， 这边的问题我先念一下，然后让那个阿瑞可以思想一下他该怎么回答。这边问的是说，基督徒因信称义之后，行为在属灵上则具有何种意义呢？举例，罪人因信耶稣得救称义之后，若在奔走天路历程中受了试探，却仍犯罪，此时仍可称为义人吗？若不能称为义人，就是罪人，那要如何可以再恢复义人的身份呢？
There's a lot in these questions.
在这问题里面是涵盖了很多。
And you're asking these because remarks I said earlier today.
我知道你问这问题是今天早上我有谈到过。
So we'll see what we could do.
那看看我们可以怎么来回答。
The first part of the question.
这问题的第一部分。
Is asking about faith and works.
就是关于信心与行为。
It's not a great mystery, and it's not really something difficult to understand.
这不是很大的奥秘，也不是太困难去理解的。
For by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves; it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast.
啊，所以因着信，然后透过恩典啊，因着耶稣我们得救，不是说我们自己可以做什么的。
I just quoted Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9.
我只是引用以弗所书二章八节九节。
And so what's, if we haven't so already, what's be even clearer?
所以若是这样，我们要更清楚、清晰的去知道的话。
From beginning to end, God's way of salvation has always been the same.
从起初到结末了，神的救恩一直都是一样的。
We were dead in our trespasses and sins.
我们因着过去我们的罪孽，我们就死了。
We could not come to God on our own.
我们无法靠自己来到神面前。
God in His grace and His mercy reached down to us.
因着神的恩典，他的手伸向我们。
And brought us to Himself.
把我们带来归给他自己。
We responded by faith, by trusting in Him.
我们用信心跟信靠他来回应他。
We do not get right with God by things that we do.
我们没办法靠着我们做好行为来跟他有对的关系。
Once we come to Him,
一旦我们归向他，
He makes us alive for the very first time.
他在一开始就给我们，当我们归向他的时候，他最开始就给我们这个生命了。
For me, that happened when I was 18 years old.
对我来讲，就是我十八岁那时候。
I became alive for the very first time.
就第一次觉得自己真的活过来了。
Somebody shared with me that happened with them when they were 40.
有人就跟我分享说，他是在四十岁的时候得救。
Whatever that moment was for you,
不管那一刻对你是哪时候，
that's when you became alive.
就是在那一刻，你好像活过来了。
What happens when something is alive?
当某个东西活过来的时候，会发生什么事？
It starts looking like it's alive.
它就开始看起来是活着的样子。
That's where works comes in.
那就是这个字眼的来源。
We don't do works to maintain being alive.
我们不是要做什么工作来持守住保持住我们仍然活着。
Living according to God's word,
活照着神的话语活出来，
is not done to keep our salvation.
不是说要来做我们得救，做出我们的得救。
We can't do that.
我们做不了我们的得救。
God keeps us.
是神来持守住我们。
Rather, living according to God's word.
所以宁愿是照着神的话来活出来。
It's just an indication that there is life.
那就知道这样就有生命。
We will want to do it.
我们是若是做就有生命，我们每个人都会要做。
Because we're alive.
因为我们是活着的了。
We can't help it.
那我们没办法自己来帮助说可以活。
I mean, tell a tree to stop bearing leaves.
所以就好像说那个，我们告诉树说你不要长叶子。
You can't.
不可能叫它不要长叶子。它就是自然活下来，它就会这么长。
We as a new creation.
我们变成一个新造的了。
Will bear fruit.
我们就是会结果子。
Because we're alive.
因为我们是活着的了。
We weren't before, but now we are.
以前不是真的活，现在是真的活了。
The second part of this question.
这个问题的第二部分。
Has a little bit to do with terminology.
跟一些术语有些有关系。
There is a difference.
那是有不一样。
There's a difference between saying.
跟圣徒。
I get drunk.
Saint or thing. OK， 罪跟跟罪就是sin 就是犯罪的罪，还有举例说我酒醉了。
Sometimes I get drunk.
有时候我会酒醉。
There's a difference between saying that.
这样这个跟这个是有点不一样的。
And saying I'm an alcoholic.
跟我有时候会酒醉，跟我是一个叫做酒瘾的人是不一样的。
There's a difference between saying I tell lies.
在罪跟我会说谎这件事情是不是一样？这当中是有差别的。
And saying I'm a liar.
或者说这讲说我会说谎，或者说我是个说谎者，这是不一样的。
There's a difference between saying I sin.
这个所以在这当中有不一样，说我犯罪。
And saying I'm a sinner.
跟我是罪人，这当中是有不一样的。
One has to do with what we do.
一个是关乎我们做出来的。
The other has to do with our identity.
另外一个讲法就是好像是我的身份是这个。
We need to grasp really clearly what Yeshua did for us.
我们要真的很清楚地抓住耶稣已经为我们成就的。
Life in Him.
在他里面的生命。
Isn't just that we merely get something.
是难道只是说得到一些什么东西吗？
Life in Him is that we have become something we were not before.
在他里面的生命，我们进到他里面的生命，就是说，事实上是说，是跟我们以前从来没有过的。
Before He came into our lives,
当他进到我们生命之前
，Well, I was dead in my trespasses and sins.
因着我过去的罪孽，我是死的。
I was a sinner to my very core.
那在我的核心里面是个罪人的身份。
I didn't just do sin, I was a sinner.
我不只是会犯罪而已，我根本就是个罪人。
I was part of the kingdom of darkness.
我是过去在黑暗的国度里。
I was in that kingdom.
我不是在神的国度里。
I was dead in my trespasses and sins.
我是死在我自己的罪孽里了。
That's who I was.
那是过去的我。
But now in Yeshua.
但是现在在耶稣里。
The good news, friends, is much, much better than we ever dreamed it was.
朋友们，这好消息是超过我们很多我们可以梦想得到的。
And what I'm saying is based on Romans 5 and 6.
我所说的都根基在罗马书五章到八5 and 6和第六章五章跟六章。
I take Romans 5 and 6 in a most literal fashion.
然后我用那个五章跟六章来总结来说。
In Romans 5.
在罗马书五章
，It says that He transferred us from being a part of the kingdom of death.
他说他把我们从那死的一个国度里面转换。
Now in Yeshua, I'm part of the kingdom of life.
然后进到耶稣里，就是生命的国度里。
The first Adam,
那首先的亚当
，Maybe my physical father,
也许就是我深深的父亲。
But he's no longer my spiritual father.
不再是我属灵的父亲了。
I'm now the son of the second Adam.
我现在是第二个亚当的儿子。
Yeshua.
就是耶稣的儿子。
I'm no longer a sinner.
我不再是罪人。
But I have been made righteous.
我已经被成为是一个义人了。
Then in Romans 6.
在罗马六章。
It says that God identified us with the death, burial, and resurrection of Yeshua.
神，他说神看我们是跟耶稣一起同定，而且同死，而且同复活了。
When Yeshua died,
当耶稣死了
，I died.
我也死了。
Paul calls it the old man.
保罗称这为旧人。
The old man died with him.
那旧人就跟耶稣一起死了。
He who once was a sinner died.
过去这位罪人已经死了。
When Yeshua was buried,
当耶稣被埋葬。
I was buried with him. The old man was buried with him.
我这个旧人跟着他一起被埋葬。
But then when Yeshua rose from the dead,
当耶稣从死里复活。
I arose with him a new person.
我跟着他一起复活，成为新造的。
Something I never was before. I became alive for the very first time.
我跟过去就不一样，我是第一次这么活过来了。
And although sometimes I might do sin in my flesh,
也许有时候在我肉身，我仍然会犯了罪。
Paul goes on to say, "It is not I who sin, but sin that dwells in my members."
保罗说不是我要犯这罪，而是在我的记忆体里面会去犯这个罪。
There's a big difference between saying, in my flesh I sinned.
所以在这样的罪跟犯罪里面犯罪和罪是不跟罪人是不一样的。
And saying, I'm a sinner.
这个犯罪跟说我是个罪人这个是不一样的。
I am a new creation.
我是个新造的了。
It can't go back.
不可能再回走回头路。
Yeshua cannot go back on the cross.
因为耶稣不可能再走回头再去钉十字架。
He who would die is dead already.
他那位为我死的已经死了。
He's been dead and buried.
他死也埋葬了。
I'm alive with Yeshua and so are you.
我已经在耶稣里跟着他同复活，你也跟着他同复活。
Two things that convince us that that's not true.
所以有两件事情让我们认知这样说法是不对的。
One thing that we think is that sometimes we do sin.
一个就是有时候我们真的还会犯罪。
That doesn't mean that we're a sinner.
那不代表我们是罪人。
It means that we were irresponsible and in our members we committed sin.
所以这就是我们的那个在我们自己对自己行为的负责任部分就是在记忆体里面那个犯罪的那个记忆体还在。
We did not take our thoughts captive.
没有把它从记忆体中挪走。
We yielded our members to unrighteousness.
我们就让给了这个记忆体来有犯罪机会。
But it is not I that sin, but sin that dwells in my members.
所以不是我是罪人，而是这个罪是住在我里面，就是保罗讲的住在我里面的那个罪。
I, on the other hand,
我还是另外一部分来讲。
I'm a new creation.
另外一方面来讲，我是一个新造的。
Sometimes it doesn't feel like we're a new creation, does it?
有时候我们真的不觉得自己是新造的，对不对？
Especially after giving in to sin.
特别是当我又犯罪的时候。
We feel crummy.
我们就觉得很罪恶感。
We feel horrible.
我们就觉得自己很糟糕。
That's why Paul wrote Romans.
这是为什么保罗要写罗马书。
He says, let our lives be guided by what we know to be true.
他说让我们的生命要让我们所知道的那个真理来掌理我们的生命。
When we give in to sin,
当我们让给了罪,
we need to know all the more who we truly, truly are.
我们要马上知道我们真实的身份该是什么。
We didn't become a sinner at that point.
在那一刻不是说你就是罪人了。
We just sinned.
而只是犯了罪。
We confess our sin.
我们就认罪。
He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of that sin.
他是信实的，公义的，他必要赦免我们罪，要洗净我们的
罪。It can happen in a split second, that restoration process.
所以在这一秒之间，这样的那个救赎就又成就了。
Why?
为什么呢？
Because it's not I who sin, but sin that dwells in my members.
因为不是我要犯罪，而是在我里面，住在我记忆体里面的那个罪在叫我犯罪。
I am united with Messiah in his resurrection.
所以我需要耶稣这样的一个救赎跟这样的复活。
We can never, never die again.
我们不可能不可能会再死一次。
You hear what I'm saying?
你了解我要讲的吗？
We can never die again.
我们不可能再死一次。
Death, he who would die is dead already.
那一位为我死的已经死过了。
We are a new creation, eternally united with our Messiah.
我们是新造的，永远的跟我们的弥赛亚连接在一起了。
I know this sounds too good to be true.
我知道这听起来有点太美好了。
Some people might even say it's arrogance.
有些人觉得说啊，这太好像太华美了，太不可行了。
Friends, it is too good to be true.
是朋友们，这听起来是美好到好像做不到。
But it's true.
但这却是真的。
This is why the good news is the good news.
这就是为什么说好消息才称为好消息的原因。
Yeshua died for sin once and for all.
耶稣一次的死就为这罪完全完成了这样的功的解决的功的。
And like it or not, we are with him for eternity.
不管你觉得像不像那个感觉，但是我们跟他是永恒的连接在一起了。
As the song says, he will never, never let go of our hand.
所以这是诗篇里面讲的，他手永远不放开我们了。
Even so, even though sometimes we sin,
就算有时候我们会犯罪。
And miss the joy that he planned.
就失去了他本来计划给我们的喜乐。
He will never let go of our hand.
但是他绝对不会放开我们的手。
That's, I can't tell you anywhere, I can't answer this any clearer than that.
然后这关于这个问题，我只能就是就这样的回答，我觉得这样子已经很清楚的回答这问题了。
Any more questions?
还有没有其他问题？
在这里哈，我跟一些有订CD 的人哈，就是我们的 CD 是包括今天还有明天两堂讲堂哈，就是我们在九个小时中间弄八片哈。那如果 VCD 大概就是只有今天了哈，但是我第一个不能跟你确定哈 ，VCD 能不能，不过我尽量跟这人弟兄两个看看怎么去处理。还有VCD 可能就只有今天的哈，因为明天做礼拜，我不希望哈在咱们的照来照去的哈。
只够选一个哈，所以跟我们今天的主题比较有关的，所以请问您，上帝向摩西显现的圣山何烈山在就是西乃山在现在的是在哪一个国家的哪个地方？第二个问题，摩西带领以色列人离开埃及，被法老军队追赶到海边，神彰显神迹，使海水向两边分开，以色列人就成功到对岸。这个海是 the Red Sea， 就是红海，还是 Red Sea R E E D？
We're taking these because they're Exodus questions。
因为我们选这个是他在问关于出埃及记这本书的问题。
And they're good questions。
而且是很好的问题。
First Mount Sinai。
首先就是关于西乃山。
The truth of the matter is，
那是真实的这样情况是这样。
Nobody knows for certain where Mount Sinai is。
没有人真实知道现在西乃山在哪里。
We have some good ideas。
我们有些蛮好的想法。
But even to this day, we don't know for certain。
但是甚至到今日，我们没有办法很确切的知道它是在哪。
The two best suggestions。
两个最好的建议是这样。
Were the ones we talked about earlier today。
就是今天早上所讲的那个看法。
There are two possible routes for the Exodus。
在出埃及记那边有两个主要的根。
One route takes us across the northern Sinai Peninsula.
就是说他们有两个主要的路径，一个可能就西乃山的北边。
And there is a mountain there that seems to qualify.
还有另外一座山在那边看起来也蛮合格的。
It meets all the requirements that Exodus wants us to have.
也许就是出埃及记里面提到的应该是这个样子的。
And there's a southern Exodus route that takes us down to the southern Sinai Peninsula.
然后还有一些在出埃及记他们走的路径也是到南边的那里。
And there's a Mount Sinai down there.
在那边也有那西乃山。
It's located near what's called St. Catherine's Monastery.
那个是比较靠近圣凯瑟琳修道院的地方，那边也好像是西乃山。
You could go visit there.
你可以去拜访那边。
And the monks who live there, that monastery.
那在那边有那个修士住在那个修道院。
For a little price.
你要付一点钱。
We'll put you on a camel.
他们会让你坐到骆驼上。
And before sunrise, take you up to the top of the mountain.
在
sunrise.
Before sunrise.
在太阳出来之前，会带着你坐骆驼上到那个山顶。
I've never done it.
我从来没这样做过。
I've known people who have.
我知道曾经有人这么做过。
It's a very exhilarating experience.
那是很不一样的这种经验。
But even so, even though there's a monastery there,
就算那边因为他们认为那是一个西乃山，所以在那边有个修道院。
We do not have any good evidence that that is Mount Sinai.
但是仍然不足以证明那个就是真实的那个西乃山。
So we just don't know.
所以真的不知道它位在何处。
And the second question about the Red Sea.
第二个问题关于红海。
Most of the time, the phrase in Hebrew is Yom Suf.
大部分在希伯来文的句子里面是 Yom Suf。
Yom Suf means Red Sea。
Yom Suf 意思就是红海。
And that's all that we know。
这是我们唯一知道的。
We do know that geography has changed in 3,500 years。
我们不知道3500年后整个地理位置是不是地理环境有没有移动。
There is some evidence in northeastern Egypt。
在埃及的北边是有一些证据。
That there once was a salt lake there.
那边曾经有一个盐湖。
Is that the sea that the Israelites crossed?
会不会就是那个以色列百姓跨过红海的那个红海
？A sea character, a body of water characterized by a bunch of reeds. Characterized by having reeds around it.
在周边
reeds. Reeds, R E E D.
哦 ，R E E D， 在周边有很多那个 reeds 怎么翻？芦苇 ，OK， 芦苇。
The word yam in Hebrew.
在希伯来文就是 yam。
Can mean any kind of body of water.
很可以代表各式各样水的那种那周边的情况。
From a little tiny pond.
可以是小小的池塘。
To a huge ocean.
或者是很像大的海洋的那种湖。
So it doesn't have to be that they crossed a big ocean.
所以不见得就是要跨过很大的海洋。
So we don't know much more than that.
所以我们能够有的资讯没办法多于刚刚我讲的这些了。
And again, we don't know where it is.
再一次我们要讲，我们真的不知道它是在什么地方。
It's not the present day Red Sea.
不再是关乎说是红海。
At least the branch of the Red Sea that's between Israel and Saudi Arabia.
至少我们知道是在那个在埃及跟沙特阿拉伯之间。
It could be part of the branch of the Red Sea that's between Egypt and the Sinai Peninsula.
但是也有可能在埃及跟西乃山之间的那个海。
I don't know anything beyond this.
我所知道的只有这些。
Sorry.
对不起。